Hello everyone, welcome back to Winning the Game. Wilhelm Hast here, and I'm in the midst of the topic of stimulus and response. You know, the fact that human beings get triggered by stimulus sometimes, and we have an automatic response to whatever occurs for us. That response doesn't need to be automatic, like we can have a trigger and we can find the space and then choose a better response than the first impulse, but the fact is we're impulse driven to some extent as human beings. Now, last episode, I spoke about the reduction of stimuli as a super simple strategy to kind of help your brain to not get triggered so much. Today, we want to look at creating the triggers you want. So, I don't know how much awareness you have as a listener to this mechanism of your brain, but if we do the metaphor of the body, if you have a backpack on and you run up 5 flights of stairs quickly, you kind of half run up the stairs with a heavy load on your back, right? What will happen to your heart rate? Well, it's kind of obvious. The heart starts to beat quicker, right? Yeah, everybody knows that. So the big muscles in your legs needs more oxygen because it carries a quicker, heavier load. And then, of course, the heart starts to beat. So nobody stands at the top of those 5 stairs and gets into panic because their heart is rushing. It's a natural response to what happened with your body when you're running up the stairs, right? Now, if you feel stressed and irritated, you are not, perhaps, depending on how much training you have, aware to what causes that stress and frustration and annoyance. Sometimes it's too many triggers on your brain, so your thought starts to be occupied by what your brain is triggered to think on. You reduce those stimuli, and then the brain is helped a bit. Why are you doing what you do? Well, some of us are triggered to get into action all day by random stuff. If you remove the randomness of the triggers and start to consciously create triggers that triggers you to a more, what should we say, beneficial experience or a more appropriate experience, you will start to notice you lose less power. So small tricks like that, where do you park your reminders for things you need to do? Do you have a to-do list, some kind of flag system in your mail, some things in Teams you get noticed, you write a thing in your calendar, you have a scrap of paper on your desk? Well, that's too many places because you can't rely on what triggers you get. For example, it's a good practice to put in your calendar the 2-3 most important things you need to get done in the day at a full day event on the top of the calendar. Put your main to-dos for the day there. So I try to operate from, if I look in my calendar, I'm good. There are no triggers outside of my calendar view that I need to critically do in the day. What's parked in other systems are beyond the needs of the day. So if I look in my calendar and there's nothing there that triggers me to act, I'm good. I can relax. It's like my calendar tells my brain what to do, or there's nothing immediately I need to get done. So when the calendar works like that, the calendar helps your brain to relax. It helps your brain to go, okay, in control again. And then if something comes up that needs to happen before end of the day, it doesn't go on a list, it doesn't go the flag, it goes into my calendar so I can trust the reminders I set up. There are many ways you can play around with this. Do my triggers that I create support me or distract me? Funny thing that sounds really stupid. It's years back when I started to notice this principle of creating triggers that I liked versus creating triggers that stressed me. Was one Saturday morning, I noticed at 7 a.m. in the morning, Saturdays, it just said swimming school. And it was a reminder to take my son to the school because he was learning to swim. He was like 5 or 6 at the time. And every Friday I looked in my calendar and saw that 7 a.m. reminder, get in the car, take Arvid to the swimming lessons. And I noticed it annoyed me, like, OK, like 7 o'clock in the morning and I get up at 6:30 on a Saturday, whatever. I asked for fun because I started to experiment with this creating triggers. I just changed the text on that calendar time from swimming lessons to Arvid is learning to swim. Because when I read Arvid is learning to swim, I got joyful because I love to be around my kids when they had those moments of learning to ride a bike, learning to swim, learning to read. So those moments, I just love the first time they could swim. And I knew subconsciously when I read it in my calendar, Arvid is learning to swim, that I was building up to that joyful memory moment. So for some odd reason on Fridays, when I didn't read swimming school, swimming lessons, but I read Arvid is learning to swim, my brain went, oh good, yeah, he can swim this summer. Then he can run around on the docks by himself with his cousin. And the brain started to get all kinds of nice pictures from a simple little twist in the stimuli. Now, try this for yourself and try that in meeting invites with other people. So a project is coming to a close, 1 month to celebration time, or some clients that play around appropriately by producing stimuli that triggers a more beneficial response in the brains of the people that read it. I love to move between the little practical nitty-gritty things of leadership to the big, difficult questions of meaning and purpose and vision and human functioning. So this episode and the last was more nitty-gritty, down to the details of your tools and structures, but they can make a real difference too. Welcome back anytime you want, and I'll see you in the next episode.